It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, January 9th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Intel has announced at the International Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas that it's getting serious about mineral sourcing. Where companies get ingredients for our chips and our devices is kind of a dirty open secret, and until the creation of new materials, it'll stay that way. But the world's largest chip maker is promising all of the microprocessors it ships this year will be free of conflict minerals. Carolyn Duran directs Intel's conflict minerals program. Carolyn, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
First, can you just describe to me why my phone is such a morally conflicted device?
The issue is in that we're focused primarily or solely on the Democratic Republic of the Congo and the human rights atrocities that have been taking place in that region for years. There are many warring factions in that region, and many of them use funds from the sale of minerals in that region to fund these atrocities.
What kind of minerals are we talking about?
The first is tantalum. The second is tin. The third is wolframite, which becomes tungsten. And the fourth is gold.
Can you give me a sense of how much money Intel spends on these materials?
It's very, very small, fundamentally. When you think about our technology and we talk about our microprocessors, we're talking about laying atoms down on top of one another. So it is really, really small amount in the scope of our entire bill of materials.
So how is Intel changing its behavior as a company as a reflection of the company's feelings about where some of this stuff is coming from in the world?
We turned our attention to the smelters. It's not that the smelter has to actually make any different decisions on where they source from. They just have to demonstrate responsible sourcing. So they can even continue, and we encourage them to continue supporting resources from the DRC and covered countries as long as they go through the extra due diligence.
Well, even I suppose that market pressure can, I would imagine, be directly applied to those who are the quote-unquote bad guys and help to convince them to change their ways.
Yeah, I have a good example of that in the tantalum space, which is where we started our efforts first.
Uh-huh.
When enough tantalum smelters had gone through the validation process such that downstream customers like Intel, like other electronics companies, could say, there are enough here that I can choose my supply chain to be only those validated, they had a change in behavior. And that's what we want to see.
Dr. Carolyn Duran is the director of Intel's Conflict Minerals Program. Carolyn, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
One of the big gossip stories from this year's CES was the one about T-Mobile CEO John Legere getting kicked out of a party hosted by competitor AT&T. The two wireless giants have been trying to poach each other's customers. AT&T announced a plan this week to credit new customers up to $450 to jump ship from other carriers. Now, T-Mobile has announced that it will pay up to $650 in early termination fees for family plan customers to leave their carrier and, yes, come to T-Mobile. Yesterday, we heard about a growing trend in Silicon Valley's tech startup scene, entrepreneurs who embrace, even celebrate, their failures. It may be a refreshing approach, but as our wealth and poverty reporter Chrissy Clark discovered, it can still come at a very high cost.
Lauren Bargoot is trying to embrace failure. She's a scientist and entrepreneur from the San Francisco Bay Area. Recently, she went to a tech conference where, in speech after speech, she heard stuff like this.
We know that innovation is built on failure.
Failure is the easiest way to learn.
Bargoot has two failed companies to her name, and she says those messages
made me feel less like an idiot.
Bargoot's no slouch. She's got a doctorate from UC Berkeley in vision science. It's a combination of computer science, neurobiology, and physics. And at her house, she's commemorated each of her life's achievements with a fish tank.
When I passed my orals exam, I got a fish tank. When I got my master's, I got a fish tank. This was my PhD.
And yet, after a decade trying to launch a successful company in Silicon Valley, still no fish tank for that one. Bargoot has spent her career developing technology that makes it easier to manipulate and search for photos online.
Whenever I pitch it to a VC or a customer, I usually get a wow, and then they bring in the engineers, and it gets pretty exciting.
She's come close to success once, then twice.
Didn't make it, but I still believe a version of this technology will change the world. So I'm going to keep doing this over and over again.
In fact, she's already working on her next company, but it requires practical calculations, like...
If I'm able to refinance the house, I have enough housemates so that I should be able to cover the mortgage.
Bargoot's tolerance for risk, her single-mindedness, it's what you need to be an entrepreneur. But being a 40-something mom with a bunch of debt and roommates, that can also be...
emotionally and financially devastating. Having financial problems, that's already a taboo. And having it be your fault, right? Because you chose a very high-risk endeavor and it didn't work out. It's embarrassing.
Bargoot comforts herself with stories that have become legends in Silicon Valley, like how once upon a time, some co-founders of PayPal...
they put their foot into the car and it had rusted out and it broke. So that's how desperate they got before they got funding.
But desperation has its limits. Recently, Bargoot's teenage daughter told her, "Mom, you should get a normal job." I'm Chrissy Clark from Marketplace.
And if you've got a Samsung Smart TV or are getting one ahead of the Super Bowl, you can purchase David Beckham's new line of underpants during the big game with a click of the remote, which is proof of that old saying, the person who holds the clicker in the house has the power to buy underwear. Does anyone say that? I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.